You know, the great German theologian Karl Barth wrote 13-volume systematic theology called Church Dogmatics. And when someone asked him to, if he could possibly summarize all 13 volumes in a single sentence, he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Our Old Testament reading is Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. Listen for the word of the Lord. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole. Everyone who's bitten shall look on it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it up on a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Sometimes confusing, sometimes strange, always challenging us and leading us in your light. Please guide our hearts as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm taking off my mask. If that's a little close for you, I think you're like at least 18 feet away, so you should be okay. But if you'd like, you're welcome to move further back. Okay. Go. So, this story, as you heard from Eloise, this strange story about the people being ungrateful and complaining and asking God why you've brought us into the wilderness to die, that story, it's kind of weird, kind of strange. It doesn't show a picture of God that sounds quite like Jesus on the cross. But at the same time, you see the New Testament writers interpreting that, right? You see the New Testament writers going, where Jesus says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And you see that going together. So, we've talked about this before in our going through the entire Bible series, that the New Testament writers take all of this stuff from the Old Testament and like, see, that's about Jesus. So you've seen that, it's been done. Now we're going to do something completely different. We're going to look at the snakes biting people story. We're going to look at that because it bugs me. I first read it and I was like, I don't want to keep doing this. This is irritating. This is a irksome story because now I have to find some way to interpret that. Anyway. So before we go there, we're going to talk about stone soup. You guys have heard this story before, right? Stone soup? Because, I mean, many, I know I'm talking also to the folks who are joining us on the live stream, because I know like half the people in this church were teachers at one point. So you know the story, but I'll tell it to you again in case anybody doesn't know it. There's a town where everybody is like really stingy and not willing to share. And then one day a stranger comes in and he asks for food. And they're like, "No, we're not going to give you any food. We don't have enough for ourselves." So he says, okay. He thinks about it and he's gone all over town and nobody will give him anything. So he sets up a pot in the town square and puts a stone in it and just fills it with water. And someone walks by and they say, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm making stone soup. It's delicious." Like, "Really? I didn't know you could make soup with a stone." "Oh yeah, it's amazing. Best thing ever." So he's like, it boils and takes a sip. So good. It's so perfect. If I just had maybe a little bit of broth, that's the only way this could be better. They're like, "Well, I have some broth." And they run and bring him back the broth. And somebody else comes by and, "Oh, this is so good. If I just had, what's it need? carrots, if I just had some carrots, I think it would be so much better. And it goes through, and people like keep bringing him just one little bit of thing that it would need to be just perfect until it is this amazing soup. And he shares it with the entire town. And of course, in the end, there's just everybody has brought and shared their food, and they've made stone soup, even though, and at the end, he just pulls the stone out and puts it in his pocket. I told you that story to tell you this one, which I promise is going somewhere. I think when my sister Hannah was like 11 years old, we were living in Colorado Springs. She was really, really picky. She wasn't living in Colorado Springs. She was in Pennsylvania. She and my mom flew out to visit us. She was super picky. Like, we wanted to make chili, and she was like, I think she just wanted hamburger and tomato sauce or something. She's just really picky. And I was like, you know, when I was your age, we had stone soup for dinner. Sometimes we even got to eat the stones. And sometimes if we were really lucky, it was, you know, stone soup, just the first stage of stone soup, just the water and the rocks. And if we were really lucky, we got to eat the rocks. And if we were really, really lucky, it wasn't dehydrated water. I found out later that she actually believed me. It was great. But the idea, there's that, you know, be grateful for whatever we're giving you, right? How many of you heard about the starving children in Africa who would give anything to have the food that you really thought was pretty disgusting? And maybe they actually wouldn't, I don't know. But this story with the serpents, it feels like that kind of story, doesn't it? A little bit. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food. We detest this miserable manna. And the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people. Doesn't that sound like a story you'd tell your kids to scare them to not being ungrateful? Sounds like it to me, right? Like, can you imagine how this would play, you know? You're sitting at dinner. I don't like this. Yeah, you know what happened the last time the Israelites complained about food? Poisonous serpents. That's what. Eat your food and be thankful. That's how it feels to me. And this is the best part. Some of the commentaries from the Talmud bear this out. Oh, that's a picture of what possibly was what those snakes looked like. This is Rashi. He says, God said, as it were, let the serpent which was punished for slanderous statements come an exact punishment from those who utter slander. Remembering the Genesis 3, the serpent says, did God really say, you may not eat from any fruit or from the fruit of any tree of the garden? Right, that? Let the serpent, to which all kinds of food have one taste, that of earth. Remember Genesis 3:14, God says, the dust shall you eat all the days of your life, I think. Yeah. Anyway, let the snake come and exact punishment from these ingrates. That's Rashi, an 11th century French rabbi. So you're seeing this, right? That it's sort of a... be grateful and stop complaining. That kind of story. But here's from Rabbi Chaim Ibn Attar. It appears, this is a completely different read, that as a result of these continued complaints by the Israelites against God and Moses, he sent the very beasts against them by which their and I can't read that, had given birth to. We've explained on numerous occasions that the destructive forces in the world are nothing but the creatures we cause to come to being through our sins. Now that's a read. Basically, he's Rabbi Ur Hachaim, that's the Light of Life, his commentary, 18th century Moroccan rabbi. Basically, he argues that, oh, there it is, God allowed the evil creations of the people's slanderous remarks to be turned against them, that by saying what they said, they created these serpents. He argues that God just sent them these snakes that they had made through their own words. Remembering Proverbs 18:25, death and life are in the power of the tongue, that we can create or destroy with our words. Sometimes, though by no means always, we can create a reality that we don't like by complaining rather than being thankful. And sometimes the misery we live in is a misery that we brought on ourselves through our complaints. This isn't to say just, you know, always be super happy, because there's a place for joy. And there's a place for not trying to be fake happy all the time. One of my largest irks is when I listen to Christian radio stations and they talk about how positive and encouraging they are, and I'm like, well, what if I'm not feeling positive and encouraging, and I don't want to feel positive and encouraging? The Psalms show the whole spectrum of human emotion, but Christian radio stations are only allowed to show the happy side? Sigh. But we can, I think you'll agree, make ourselves more miserable by dwelling in our misery longer than might be appropriate, or by just emphasizing the worst parts of our existence. There's a TV show called Bluey that Ryan really likes. It's about a family of dogs, and it's pretty adorable, like 6-minute episodes. And one of the ones I watched with Ryan yesterday the dad and the two girls go for takeout, and he's just super annoyed with them, and he just, you know, something's coming late. So like, whatever it is, there'll be 5 more minutes, and he just kind of sits outside, and the girls want to play and have fun, and he's just like, I'm so tired, I'm just going to read this newspaper and wait, and the girls just keep getting in more and more trouble while he's waiting and being irritated with everything. And then after a massive mess has come, they come out and they're like, it's just going to be 5 more minutes. And he just gets super frustrated, and the owner gives the girls fortune cookies, and one of the fortunes says something like, you're only going to be young for a super short amount of time, and the dad's like, ah, crap, what have I been doing? And then he goes and starts playing with his daughters, showing that sometimes we can create our own harm, we can create our own punishments through our ingratitudes. The other thing, and connected to that, Moses' solution, the solution that God gives Moses. Moses makes a serpent of bronze and puts it on a pole. So whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. And there's a lot of fun interpretations for that. But the read that I have, and I've had for a couple of years, I think, is when the serpent bites someone, they look at it. They don't ignore it. They don't turn away from what's causing them suffering, but they look at it. And actually being in that moment with it. They look at it and they live. Sometimes our problems are about our refusal to acknowledge that they exist, or our refusal to actually look at it and recognize it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the great power that you've given to us to create, to destroy, to live with the consequences of just the ways that we're thinking. Please guide our hearts so that we may love you and love our neighbors and receive from Jesus what he came to give, life and life abundantly. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.